Okay, we got less than 30 seconds, so I'm going to get going. I'm not going to go into Git because Colin did, but I will just point out that there is Git integration in Team Foundation Server now, so your underlying repository can be Team Foundation Server, and if it is, of course, your Team Explorer will look like this, and if you're using Git, it will look slightly different. You don't get things like My Work, but you get all the goodness of Git, right? You get the full disconnected repository. You can see all the history and all that kind of stuff. So it's really, like Colin said, it's really nice that we've got options like this that we can flip between the two. That's all I'm going to say about Git. So, demo time. I'm going to leave that slide there just in case I want to jump back and remind myself what we've seen so far, what we haven't seen. So let me show you a little bit of, about what's going on in the web interface now. How many people use the backlog tools? There's a few. So this is the new web interface. It was in 2012, and it's so hard to keep up with because, especially if you're using the TFS preview or the cloud version, which is now called Visual Studio Online, because they're updating that thing all the time. I feel like every time I go to it, there's something new on the page that I didn't see before. But there's some really great stuff in here that's new as of 2012, as I said. So, for example, I've got the ability to control my backlog. The best feature that they added in 2012 is teams. So now we can have one big project and divide up all our data by teams. Is that what everybody's doing? Does everybody have multiple projects still? Trust me, you will be so happy if you take everything you do and put it all into one big project and then divide it up by teams. It's fantastic. So I'm looking at a particular team's backlog here, and I can do my forecasting for it. Based on my team's velocity and the effort of the user stories that I've got or the product backlog items, I can do a little bit of forecasting and look forward and see when things are going to show up. Really nice features. I've got my Kanban board. What I actually like even better is over in the iteration view, I can see what's going on in that particular iteration, and I can see if my team is overloaded or not, or whether I've got some capacity still for them to do more stuff. And I can do all that because I've got the ability per iteration to put in the capacity for the team. So now I can share people across multiple teams. So, I could be working on one team's, release 4 and another team's sprint 5 at the same time, just split between, and whoever's managing that time can keep track of that and know how much capacity I've got for them. The task board is, of course, one of my favorite things, and you can flip the view on this. You can look at it by backlog item, so I can flip it over and look at all the backlog items and all the tasks and what state those tasks are in, or I can flip it over and look at it by people as well. So I'm logged in as Julia, so we're going to just pretend for this morning that I'm Julia, and I've got some code here that I'm working on, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Some other new stuff in here is around queries and actually code. How many people use tags on their work items? Tags are a really cool new thing. So I'm gonna actually jump over to my product backlog, and if you look, here's my list. If I go into any one of these, I can actually put tags on it. So I can see that this is actually, I've tagged it as a Windows Phone user story. And I've got other ones that have different tags on them. And then over here, I've got this little filter, and I can filter by tag. So I can open it up, and you'll see I've got web, iPhone, and Windows Phone. So I've got different tasks for different things. So I can flip back to all the things and just look at the iPhone stuff, or go back over and just look at the web stuff. And it gives you a really nice, easy way to very quickly filter work items through the interface without having to add an extra column or put in anything special. You just set up a tag and remove the tags when you're done with them and filter. Really nice feature. Under the code, I'm jumping through stuff quick here. You guys are okay with this? You keeping up all right? Good. I knew you would. Under the code, we've got a little bit of extended views from the web interface into our things like change sets and shelf sets. So I can actually come in and look at those change sets and shelf sets, hard to say. And I can actually, from the web, just see the change from the last change. And I can also make comments on it. You'll see right here, I can add an overall comment. Hey, what happened here? Looks like you added a bug. So I can put in comments, and we can, and you know, other people can reply to that comment. We can have a stream of conversation about a particular change or add in a new one. And it just gives us more ways that we can pair and share our code and the way we do things. Okay, so let's jump out of here for a minute. Let's jump over into Visual Studio. Some new stuff in TFS 2013 around builds. There's not a ton new, but one of the things that they did that I really like, and one of the reasons I really like this is because I've actually done this for customers in the past. How many people have ever edited their build process template to change it to do something else, right? So I've done this lots of times for building, you know, we want to build Java, you want to change the version, set the assembly file info number, all kinds of different reasons for doing it. And it you know, Windows workflow is easy to use, and that was a great way to do it. But what I used to do a lot of was we'd shell out to PowerShell or to a batch file and do some work in there, and then that way we didn't have to edit the process template as much. But you still had to, you know, make a change to the process template to be able to call out to that shell out to something. So they've just added that in for us. So in the 2013 version of the process template, we've got a post-build script path and a pre-build script path. We also have a post-test script path and a pre-test script. So now we can just set up either PowerShell or a batch file to do stuff that we want to do pre and post build, pre and post test. And it just means that likely there's less often the chance that we have to actually edit the build process itself. So that's a nice little feature. So let's go, I'm going to close that out of that a minute. And I want to show you one other thing. How many people have seen CodeLens? CodeLens is a pretty cool little tool. Let's take a look in here. So I open up this file, and you'll notice right above the class and right above the methods, there's this little kind of grayed bar of information that tells you a bunch of information. So it tells you how many references there are to this class. And if you click on it, it'll actually show you where those references come from. Even cooler, and that's really nice, but even cooler, in my opinion, is the interconnection into Team Foundation Server. So when I click on changes, it shows me the changes to this. So these are change sets checked in. So this class was affected by change set 7 and 64, and it tells me who it was and when it was. And if I extend that out, I can actually see the task that they checked in against. And then from there, I can open up that task and take a look at why somebody made the change to the code. Or if I go to the comment, I can diff between that change set and the last one. I can send an email to Julie and ask her what the heck she thought she was doing. So there's a really nice little connection in there to out into Team Foundation Server. So you've got changes, and you've got you can also look at it from the point of view of work items. So I can look at it from the task and then expand the task and see what all the change set that this code is associated with. Pretty cool. So let's take a look in the Team Explorer. Now, I'm connected through Team Foundation Server, not Git. So that worked out really well because we got a little Git demo, and now we'll have a little Team Foundation Server Git demo. One of my favorite new features is My Work. My Work gives us this ability to kind of see our world and what we're doing. It's where I pull my to-dos from. It's where I ask for or work on code reviews. It's how I tell everybody what work I'm working on right now and what work I've got pushed off or suspended. Does anybody in the room ever have to work on, like, change context? You work on more than one thing at a time? That probably doesn't happen to you guys, right? No. So within here, you'll see that I've got my available work items. So this is just the work items in Team Foundation Server. Colin went through and he pulled up a query, great way to do it, so he could see the bug that was there. Now, I'm looking at stuff in here, and when I want to work on something, well, first of all, where does this list come from? Well, the list comes from this little, one of these queries. So there's a bunch of built-in queries that just says, hey, show me everything in the current sprint. But I've actually created my own query called My To-Dos, and if you just put that query into underneath My Queries, it will show up in that list for you. So if you're trying to figure out how to get it there, that's how you do it. So I'll just flip back into My Work. So I've got my little to-do query that shows me essentially bugs and tasks that are assigned to me. So I've got that going. But in the meantime, I'm actually working on something. And you'll see I'm you know, I've been making changes. I got a breakpoint set. I'm in the middle of doing something. I'm working hard, and boss comes in and says, "Hey, you got to go fix this bug. The bug came in. We got to fix it right now." Oh, okay. Well, what am I going to do? I guess I'll suspend this work and go get the bug and work on it. So I'll hit the suspend button, and what it does is it takes the work item that I said I was working on, and it titles the suspended session with the title from the work item. Well, that's pretty handy because that pretty much explains what I'm doing. So I'm going to suspend that. So it's under the covers, it's utilizing shelving. Everybody knows what shelving is? Oh. Have we gone to sleep, or do we really don't? Look up shelving. I don't know if I have time at the end, I'll show you some stuff on shelving. But shelving essentially is a way to take the code and put it at the server without checking it into the main repository. Really nice feature. And TFS uses it in a whole bunch of different ways. Code reviews, gated check-ins, suspended work. Utilizes shelving under the covers. So you'll see here I've got this suspended work, and now everything's clear. I have nothing checked out. If we went and looked at my pending changes, I've got nothing going on now. I've kind of cleared away what I was doing. So back over to my work, and let's just go down to available work items, and I'll grab that bug and bring it up. I can open it up and take a look at what's going on. So somebody's sent me a nice bug with some the steps to reproduce and what's going on. And it looks like we forgot to put the full label on the title, so I better go and take a look and fix that up. So let's just go in into the code in here. It was on employees, I believe. And we're going to take a look. Yep, there's the problem right there. So we'll put that in. I'll save that. So I'm going to check in this code. Let's go back over to my Team Explorer. I'll go to check in. You'll see how my Team Explorer is all integrated through all the pieces. Some people love this. Some people miss being able to pull the pending changes window out into its own space or, you know, other windows. I'll show you in a second. You can now do that in 2013. So let's fix the label. And we'll check that in against the work items. That's great. And now back over to my work, and I can continue on where I was before. So I can go back to my suspended work, and I can resume that. So watch the magic. So now here I am back with my changes, the same windows open right where I was, my breakpoint sitting there, all the files I had open, Visual Studio's back in the state I was in when I suspended it. Oh, no, shucks, you don't have to do that. I will wait here a long time, though, for you to. So so cool, that's great. I love that feature. And I hope they bring that to Git, because that's one of the things that is missing still. But I know they're working on stuff like that, so it's good. So let me go over to my builds a minute. I'm going to kick off a build. So I've got my Fabricam build here. I'm going to queue up a new build. So I'm going to queue up this build. And I want to try it out in my environment. I'm going to go over to dev actually and take a look at the environment right now. So you'll see here on my I've got all three environments. I got they just all point to a different port, so I can test out each of the environments. So there's my problem right there, last name. You know, the tester probably found this. And you know, when I go over into the test environment, look at employees, yeah, the problem's there too. So I know, unfortunately, I can't send it back unable to reproduce, so I better fix it. So here I am. My build is running. That's great. Let's see. What else do we want to make sure we cover off? We've looked at those. Switch project. Oh, yeah, undocking while I was waiting for that. So one of the things that they added in is in the Team Explorer, you'll see now when we open up these guys, you got this little arrow up in the corner. So now I can actually tear this off. Off of the Team Explorer, and it can be its own window somewhere. So now I don't have to be just in the Team Explorer flipping from window to window. I can pull them off and put them on different monitors and separate them, and it's nice. If I want to put it back, I have to go back into dock into Team Explorer, and that'll put it back into Team Explorer for me. Cool. Let's take a look and see how our build is doing. Oop, back over to my Team Explorer. So the build is running, and it looks like it's still running. Okay. So what I'm going to do now, how many people in the room are responsible for deploying out into the test environment. Is that a lot of fun? I can see the excitement. Dealing with all the different environments that we've got, and you know what, I've worked with enough customers over 30 years of doing this that I'm never surprised by the names of the environments. There's sit, git, bat, pat, prod, dev, yell them out. The acronyms go on forever. So I've got my great friend Max, who always does that kind of stuff for me. He's my TFS guru and ops guy. When you see the DevOps demos, I'm dev and he's ops. So, in case you didn't know that. So, great, our build is finished, it's all good. Now, what's happened in the build now, I've got a tool installed called Release Manager. Now, this is brand new to 2013. Release Manager came from a company called InCycle in Montreal, nice Canadian company, yay. Which is a great company. This software has been around for quite a while, so this isn't brand new out of the box. You don't have to worry about installing this with your 2013 and it being buggy. It's not. It is solid. Microsoft purchased them last year, and integrated Release Manager came shipped with 2013, TFS 2013. Not fully integrated yet, but they're working on that. So right now, it still looks like it did from InCycle, except that the splash screen says Microsoft. I think Jeff did that himself, I'm not sure. So this is Release Manager. And Release Manager lets us define an application and how it gets deployed into different environments. It also lets us define those environments. So, you know, you'll see in here I've got my Fabricam call center all set up. And if I open up that call center, you can see that I've got three environments that it needs to go to. It needs to go into the dev environment, the QA environment, and the production environment. And within each of those environments, you'll also notice that it has different steps that it has to go through. So there's an acceptance step, a deployment step, a validation step, and an approval step. And these can either be set to be automated, so it just happens. So the way we've got it set up in here right now is that in the dev environment, the acceptance step is just automated. So it just goes through and accepts, says, yeah, I ran the build, so that means I wanted it to go there. I'm not going to worry about accepting it. And same with the QA, but in production, that's not true. In production, Brian Keller has to actually come in and approve this. So the idea is that my build executes through TFS build, and then it packages up takes my binaries and puts them in the drop location, and then lets Release Manager know that, hey, this is ready to be deployed. And in Release Manager then, I can come into Release Manager and I can, let me just get out of here for a minute. And if I go over to my approvals, well actually, I'm going to switch out since we're doing this. And I'm going to sign in as Brian because Brian's the administrator for the Release Manager. So let's log in as him. Oop. We'll log in as Brian and we'll start up Release Manager in here. Okay. So Brian has a little, we'll get to see a little bit more stuff in here now. So if I go into my approval requests, we'll see there's the build that I just triggered sitting there waiting to be either approved or rejected. And if I go, there's a web interface for this. So the people that you want to approve the movement of builds through different environments don't have to install Release Manager. All they have to do is go to this web interface and take a look at, it'll log in as them, and they can look at approvals that are waiting for them to do. So we can see, if we look at the dev stage, it was accepted, that was an automated acceptance. The installation succeeded. The automated acceptance is on, and it's waiting for Brian Keller to approve this step. So let's see, okay, well, if it's all in dev and everything's good, let's go take a look. So I'll just run my dev environment, and hopefully it's there and fixed. And I was going to have employees, there we go, look, the fix is in. I was going to have Max come up and do all the deployments for me, but I figured he could just relax down there in the seat and I'll let Release Manager do it. Now, Max, of course, set. Yeah, he's already done all the work. He did all the work in Release Manager, and then, boom, I can. It's just pressing buttons for me now. So let's take a look at the QA environment. Employees, right? It hasn't been fixed there. It's still that. So I'm going to go back over into Release Manager, and, well, actually, let's do it from the web interface. So I'm going to approve this. So looks good in dev. Close. And we'll just approve it. And now, so it's been approved in dev, and now it's moving its way along, and now it's going to get installed into, automatically get installed into QA, and wait for somebody to approve it there. Someone will go in and test it in QA, and then we can just keep, and it just carries on like that. Once it's approved in QA, that build moves along to the next environment, whether that's UAT or dev or prod or whatever it happens to be. So now you're all thinking, where's this magic happening, right? No? Everybody's cool with this? They're all, yeah, this is what we do. Does anybody use a Release Manager? A couple of people, cool. Let's see how it's working out in our. So there we are. It's been moved along to QA. So if I go back over into my Release Manager, so here it is. I can see now that it's sitting in QA. If I take a look, I can see what happened in all the stages. So now it's waiting for QA team to approve this step. I can look back at the previous step and see what happened. So if I, as QA, approve this, tested, looks good. So we'll approve that, and now we're moving it into, moving it over into production. So the magic that's happening in here is happening if we take a look at the app. So my application is set up with some number of components. So, you know, this is a fairly simple app. It's just a little website. You know, websites are easy. Colin just showed us that, right? But there's, you know, I'm sure your applications are more complicated than that. You probably have Windows services and, you know, you got client apps to install. You've got, who knows what. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there. Calm, anybody got Calm Plus apps? Sorry. So in 1990, I would have told you not to do that, but you wouldn't have listened. And you know, there's an Azure, and you know, there's stuff we got to do in IIS. There's stuff we got to do to databases. We might have to back up a database or run a script. So all these things are done through these workflows. So you'll see, I get a workflow for each of the environments that I've defined, and my workflow can be different for that environment. So this is where, you know, you don't really need to use things like Slow Cheetah or webconfig transforms or anything. You just put some tokens in your webconfig, and then when it gets to release manager in the script will replace the values for you on those tokens and set it up for that particular environment. So, and if you look in here, I've got all these, you know, I can start and stop an Azure VM. I've got IIS, so I can, you know, remove a virtual directory, create a virtual directory, create a website, all the tools that I need to be able to do that. There's an .ini file manager, SQL Server, Windows operating system, and all these things are set up in this inventory over here. So here I've got, let me go to my tools. So here are all the tools that are available and the actions within those tools. So you see these are all grouped. If I sort this by tool, sorry, that's what I meant to do. So here's all the IIS stuff. And this is expandable, right? I can add stuff into this. But this gives me ways that I can just drag and drop my what I want to do. Oops, wrong place. Let me jump over here. I can just drag and drop what I want to, what I need to do in my deployment right into my script, and then fill in the values and my deployment's set up and ready to go. And this is all tied together and integrated with the build. So if I go and look at my components, so there's my call center site, and I might have multiple components, right? Like I said, it might be a website, might be some Windows services, and I set those all up as tools and just drag those in as well so they can all get set up. And you'll see it's just pulling that website right out of the drop location of the build server where the build server dropped it. Cool? Very cool. Yeah, it's very nice. Got a question? Twitter question.
Process change, record tasks, and other apps as part of a production deployment.
But can release, do you know, Max? Can release manager talk to other tools like?
Just didn't say it, just via an API.
Via an API.
Yeah.
Well, you can write the API for the tools and put them into release manager. So yeah, I would say yeah, for sure it could. I haven't done that myself, but yeah, I don't see why it couldn't, because it's an open API to write to create your own tools and tasks in there. So yeah, for sure. And it, yeah, no problem.